Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto, it's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social.
Welcome in, everybody, to The Early Ride. Live right here on Sports Grid on a Friday morning. I am Kevin Walsh, joined, of course, by Donnie Wrightside. Donnie, how are you?
Oh, doing very good. And oh, what a night it could have been last night during that Jets-Colts game. And oh, we were so close to cashing in really big. No fault of ours, Kevin. No fault of our caps here, but it is a Football Friday. Excited to be here. We're going to send you guys off in style this week and maybe pour a little bit out for our bets last night in that football game, Kevin.
Listen, quickly, just saying, you see that little logo in the corner? We always like to talk about the people and doing it for the people. If you wanted to send a couple of refunds out to the people on some of those pro Mike White bets, it wouldn't be the worst thing to ever happen. Because as Donnie's saying here, what a night it could have been.
Man.
Oh, the props market was ready to give out, considering Mike White was 7 of 11 for 95 yards and a touchdown pass. And you might see those numbers and say, that doesn't sound very good. That was in one quarter of work. Unfortunately, Mike White left this game injured. Josh Johnson came in and gave it his best, but that Jets defense, ooh, what? They bended and they broke. 45-30, your final score here. The Colts cover and the game flies over the total. Donnie, we'll break down the Jets aspect of this, no doubt. But the Indianapolis Colts moved to 4-5. They needed to make sure that they won this game, and they won it going away.
I thought this would be the case. Not necessarily because we weren't running to the line, right, Kevin, to take the -10.5 on the Colts. But there was a way that I liked the Jets particularly. But the one thing I think we could agree upon was that the Indianapolis Colts were going to move the football against that terrible Jets defense. Yeah. And they did whatever they wanted to, Kevin, to the tune of 45 points. Wentz, 22 of 30, 272, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions for a passer rating of 134. Look at the running backs here. Jonathan Taylor, 19 carries, 172, and 2 touchdowns. Yeah, that's 9.1 yards per carry. And then Nyheim Hines, oh, he was terrible in this one, Kevin. 6 for 74, 12.3 yards per carry, and a touchdown. Everything worked well. Great game plan here by the Colts to come into this. But then again, maybe, Kevin, any game plan would have worked against the Jets.
Probably they're giving up just a touch under 40 points per game over their last four meetings. All the four of those opponents team total to the over, cashing here. And really, Donnie, when we broke this game down yesterday, the question was Colts first half, Colts full game, or perhaps the Colts team total. It was option D. It was all of the above. And it was all very, very comfortable here for the Indianapolis Colts and those that back this team. And the reality on the Colts is, they're a good 4-5 football team. This is a team that is 6-3 against the number. You look at their losses on this season, and in three of them, they have held fourth quarter leads. This is a team that, when they've been able to get the job done, they've done it somewhat convincingly. You look at the game against the Dolphins, a double-digit victory. Against the Niners, the same deal, as well as here against the Jets, and of course, the dominant win against the Texans. They're a good football team. The real question becomes on the Indianapolis Colts is there any more value than simple week-to-week betting? And what I mean by that is on a week-to-week basis, again, 6-3 against the number. They are a team that you should be willing to take or lay points with right now. They are performing well against the number. But can this team do more than that? When we make the playoff odds, when we finish up Week 9, which we always like to look at, Donnie, are the Indianapolis Colts going to be worth a mention as the radio audience enters the fold? And we appreciate all those listening to Sports Grid Radio. Kevin Walsh and Donnie Wrightside breaking down Thursday night football here on a Friday morning. Hey, Donnie, really, that's the question on the Colts. Can they be more than just a 500 team that's ultimately good against the number?
Going to be tough here for it, but keep in mind as well, when you take a look at the schedules, which we like to do, they have a game against the Texans coming up and also, on the rest of their schedule, and two more with the Jacksonville Jaguars. They sit 4-5 here. That's 3 wins at 7, but you're going to have to find some wins at the Bills, Buccaneers at home, Patriots at home, Cardinals on the road, Raiders at home. They're good football teams, but I think what you're saying is correct here. Even when the teams are tough, the Colts are still hanging around. There's nothing on that schedule that says they can't compete. Now, maybe at the Bills is going to be probably the toughest game here, but there's nothing in there that says they can't compete and keep it within the point spread, which means they'll be in it late in those games. And again, I need 9 wins here. So if I'm giving them 7 already, and they just got to pick up 2 of those last, 4 remaining games or so, I think they can do it here. I think they can get to their 9 wins and be around the hunt, Kevin, in the playoffs.
I think it's certainly plausible. On the Jets side of things, Donnie, you talk about win totals. I'll be interested in what the updated win total for the New York Jets is going to be, because we saw it when they had Mike White, and they even kept the same mentality when Josh Johnson was out there. That was a team that thought they could win a football game, and probably in part because they did the same thing last week, right, against the Cincinnati Bengals team that's off to a really good season. And I think you look at the schedule here, double Miami, Houston and Jacksonville on the schedule. Are there wins outside of that? I'm not so sure. It depends what an updated win total might be. It depends whether it's Mike White or Josh Johnson or maybe even a Zach Wilson here. The defense is a disaster, but they're doing their best to compete, which at times, Donnie, feels like more than we can say about some of these other bottom feeders.
Yeah, maybe they should have hired a defensive coordinator as a head coach, right, to fix the defense. Oh, yeah, they actually did that with Robert Saleh. But the thing I liked the most about the Jets last night, you could have easily came in and took the Houston Texans approach. Keep the game close, run it, run the clock. Maybe you can hang around. That wasn't the case, Kevin. Right from jump, they were throwing the football, and it was the right move here. That shows me at least the building, meaning the Jets, has the right foundation. We'll see if it plays out over the next couple weeks here now.
Week 9 officially underway. Coming up against a break here on the Early Line, we begin our preview of all the Sunday games in week number 9. We'll start it off Sunday Night Football. Rams, Titans, should be a good one. That's next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Week number 9 underway, and there's a lot of good action. There's a lot of reports out right now around Odell Beckham Jr. We'll hit that coming up, but I want to start things off here with Sunday Night Football, where you have two of the biggest stories that we saw from this week in the NFL taking center stage. The Los Angeles Rams going for it. Apparently the only team in the NFL that wants to win a Super Bowl. Going out and getting Von Miller and bringing him in to their defense to pair with Donald and Ramsey and the like. And then the Tennessee Titans, their first game this year without Derrick Henry. If I'm not mistaken, the first game that Ryan Tannehill will play as a member of the Tennessee Titans without Derrick Henry. A 1-2 punch that has been wonderful for this football team. And the spread got on the move when the Henry news dropped, and it was above the touchdown mark. It is now settled, it seems, Donnie, at the flat 7 range, a high total, as you expect in most Titans games, of 53.5. What do you make of the Titans' chances here? A team that is 4-0 straight up as an underdog against the Rams.
Yeah, this is going to be an interesting one to try to let play out, Kevin, because it's one of those things that we haven't seen from the Tennessee Titans yet. And what we're talking about here, Derrick Henry not being the full-time starter at running back, where you can always sit back and, you know, lean on exactly what you get. 25 carries, maybe $150 and a touchdown at least, or, you know, certainly being a red zone threat. Just scrolling down here right now on the FanDuel Sportsbook, trying to find a team total look for what we have here. So we'll go away points, and that would be 22.5 for the Tennessee Titans. The reason why I'm bringing that up here, and it's always just a philosophy. If we think the Rams are the better football team, which to me, they are, particularly with Derrick Henry out. So we take a look at the total here, 53.5 at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Makes some sense because you think you're going to get points. This doesn't really matter who the Rams go up against, Kevin. It always seems to me like, hey, Sean McVay's got an answer. You got Matthew Stafford, a quarterback, and everybody is so talented from the offensive line to the wide receivers here, particularly Cooper Kupp. But the way I would attack this game is to myself say, Tennessee is still a really good football team. Julio Jones getting healthier in practice. We'll see if he makes it to the starting gate on Sunday, but that would still give you two legitimate wide receivers that you can throw to with a very good quarterback and a good offensive line. The one thing we do know, Kevin, coming into this football game is the fact that the Rams are not going to take their foot off the gas pedal. They should be able to go up and down the field on the Tennessee Titans. And also from a Tennessee Titans perspective here, they're not coming into this football game going, well, we lost Derrick Henry, next man up, Kevin. Let's give our next starting running back, whoever it may be, 30 carries in this game and expect the exact same output. You're not going to do that. Because King Henry is certainly one of the most dominant forces in football. You don't just replace him. So there, my head starts spinning and say, okay, Tannehill's got a big arm. You're in a good environment, meaning it's a dome, fast track, no weather conditions. You're going to have to keep up. And Tennessee's game plan, Kevin, heading into this football game, is most certainly not, let's keep the Rams off the field and see if we can chew clock. No, that's not going to happen. So the way I look at this is Ryan Tannehill needs to throw this team to victory, or at least be competitive. So instead of looking at the game where the Rams should be able to cover that -7, I think the Titans should be able to get into the mid-20s, particularly 24 points. I can see that happening here with Ryan Tannehill in an advanced offense, passing the football more than they're running it now.
There's so many numbers I can present that would suggest you should get involved with the Tennessee team based on what they've put forward this year, averaging 32 points per game as an underdog this season. You look at their road performances, and they have been very, very good, aside from the blip in the radar that was that game against the New York Jets. The Rams defense is good. It is not amazing. It is not the defense of last year. It can have the football moved on. And ultimately, Donnie, I think the Titans plus the 7 is the look. And I think the fact that the 7.5 is gone is the look as well. This is not a Rams team that has been dominant against the number. Even if I believe that they are the best team in football right now, they are 7-1. But again, still not dominant against the number. And that makes the difference. Overall, I think the team total makes a lot of sense. One of the interesting things, Don, that I've noted on the FanDuel Sportsbook is they have yet to repost an updated win total on the Titans. It feels like they want to learn a little bit more about what this team looks like without a Derrick Henry. And is this going to be the fairest sample if they did get blasted? Well, if they get blasted, then maybe they can't compete at that level. If they keep it within a 10-3 point range in a loss, okay, then they're fine. And if they win the game outright, then goodness me, maybe this team is just the best team that the NFL has to offer. Quite honestly, if they go onto the road here and beat the Rams, when you look at what they've had to do over the last couple of weeks leading up to this game, the total overall, that 53.5, I wonder, you know, Donnie, is Von Miller being under reported in this situation? Do we anticipate that a Von Miller gets wild? I know, because it's a Sunday nighter as well, right, Donnie? So the props board gets a little more expansive here. Von Miller to record a sack, Donald to record a sack here. There will be a couple of moments, I feel like, for this Rams defense, no doubt.
No, certainly you're correct on that. And also when you're taking a look at how they sort of want to, the word I'm looking for here, you know, get involved with Von Miller. You see the tea leaves here, and you try to read between the lines. Like, Von Miller's still coming off an injury from Denver. It's an ankle injury, but it's not a serious one. And they said they wanted to play it safe. Now, you know, Von Miller just gets traded to the Rams Sunday night football. He wants to make his debut, and he probably will end up getting a sack, but maybe you have him on a pitch count. But I have to say, you know, you're getting Von Miller at 20 snaps as opposed to zero snaps. You'll take that each and every time. I want to see how that defensive line reacts, because if they are a force, if Von Miller is rejuvenated and healthy to go along with Aaron Donald, isn't that the perfect combination? Pushing the pocket up the middle and a ridiculous pass rusher coming around the outside. Mm-hmm. It's going to be interesting to see, watch it play out. But you are correct also in one thing that you're bringing up. You know, the odds makers, not really sure what we're going to get out of the Tennessee Titans. And they do it a lot. Look at the game last night on Monday Night Football at the halftime, saying, hey, where are these prop bets at? We don't know who the quarterback's going to be, or, you know, how the game flow is going to go, if Jonathan Taylor's coming back into the game. So they sort of slow play it for a little bit. We'll see some more props here come Sunday once we know exactly who's in and who's out. Should be an entertaining game, to say the least. But me, again, myself, looking more towards a Tennessee team total, if that makes sense. If, again, they get to the starting blocks somewhat healthy on offense.
Let's bring the rest of the NFC West into the fold here. The Niners and the Cardinals will do battle once again, this time in San Francisco. We've got a full line flip here. From dog to favorite go the San Francisco 49ers. I'm sure there are some people out there that were hoping to get Niners value in this game, maybe plus the field goal at home. Well, pair an Arizona loss to a Packers team that had essentially no wide receivers, an injured Kyler Murray walking off of the field, and a Niners team that left a game on the road in Chicago where they didn't punt not one single time and put up 33 points. And you have the Niners now laying 2, Donnie. Niners a lot more attractive plus three than minus two, I got to tell you.
No, they certainly are. But you know what? When we say and see some of these line movements here early in the week, because I'm checking the FanDuel Sportsbook right now to try to get a team total look here at the 49ers, and it looks still decent. 23.5 minus 112 for the home team, which obviously is the 49ers. I'm coming around on this one here, and you're right. Maybe you missed out a little bit, and you would like them to get the plus three as opposed to the favorite end of it. Let's keep in mind what we're doing here with the 49ers back on offense. It's one of those things, Kevin, and you know we talk about, hey, when this team gets healthy, I haven't really looked much at the 49ers here because they've been so injured on the season so far. You know, is Brandon Ayuk out of the doghouse? Is Debo Samuel going to play this week? George Kittle's been down a couple weeks. Seemingly they lose running back after running back every single week. But now it looks like if you're going to be able to get to the starting gate here, Elijah Mitchell, who's been so good as a young running back, he's limited in practice with a rib injury. He should be able to go on Sunday. Debo Samuel been battling that calf injury. He looked sensational last week with that. So if he starts, and also today is key. It's Friday. The practice reports in the NFL today more than any other day are most important because that sets up the weekend. If you're able to get into practice on Friday, there's a really good chance that you're going to be playing on Sunday. So who am I looking at? George Kittle, who's had a great week of practice so far. They wanted to see how that calf responds from day to day. And if Friday, and George Kittle says he can't wait to get back out on the Sunday, all those things point in the right direction. More weapons for the 49ers. I think they win this football game, Kevin. I do.
But I got to say, Donnie, what a classic spot to once again talk about why team totals make so much sense. Earlier in the week with some of our friends over in Colorado, I mentioned this team total at 22.5 being valuable. It's now 23.5, but you're not really crossing key numbers in that range. And you can still back this Niners team and not worry about going from that favorite to the dog and flipping back and forth in that way. This is San Francisco team that, as you mentioned, Eli Mitchell, cooking a target player prop from earlier in the week. Also, the Kyler Murray under rushing potentially not fully healthy coming into this game. Should be a good one. Let's talk Odell Beckham Jr. next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Live here on a Friday morning, and there is some breaking news in the NFL right now around Odell Beckham Jr. on his birthday, perhaps getting his birthday wish. All signs indicate reports coming in from all of the big names, from Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk to Charles Robinson to Adam Schefter to Mike Garofalo, you name them, they're reporting on this situation right now. But the end result appears that Odell Beckham Jr. and the Cleveland Browns will be parting ways. Now, there is some uncertainty as to how the waiver process will work for Odell. Will he clear waivers and be able to choose his team? Could he perhaps be picked up? Those details are being hammered out. But Donnie, if Odell gets his way and gets to choose his next landing spot, and if the board is interested in him, because there's no guarantee that the other 31 teams will all be interested in bringing in an Odell Beckham Jr., where are some of the landing spots that jump out to you when you think about a potential partner for Odell Beckham Jr. the rest of the way?
Yeah, this should be intriguing to watch it play out because there's already a report earlier today because you think, you know, Henry Ruggs with the tragedy around him, they're going to need a wide receiver. They're a good football team, want to make the playoffs. But there was a report that's saying that the Raiders would not be pursuing Odell Beckham Jr. So when you try to look around the league, what makes the most sense for Odell? Because keep in mind, he was in New York City and he was, as I said, he was the brightest star out there and dominating, and he couldn't make it work there. So he gets sent to Cleveland. Man, this should work out perfectly. Baker Mayfield's there, a team on the rise. He should work out well, and they'll love him in Cleveland. It didn't work out. So more importantly, you're trying to look at a situation where, I guess, winning at all costs makes the most sense. And what I mean by that is, let's just say and use the Rams, for instance, right now. Sean McVay can probably make anything work anywhere on offense. You have an unbelievable quarterback in Matthew Stafford and a really good football team. So it's a place where Odell Beckham's going to come, and if maybe things aren't going the way he wanted to, the team is really good in winning, so he'll buy into it. It's almost like the Antonio Brown. you know, stuff where he goes from Pittsburgh where it wasn't working out, goes to the Raiders, doesn't even make it to the first game, goes to the Patriots and the Leafs are shaking out. And then Tom Brady says, all right, I got you here. Let's calm down. And they end up winning a Super Bowl. And you don't hear much from Antonio Brown now. Why? Because the team is talented and he knows that he can't, you know, squeaky wheel here. Hey, I want the football. Hey, pal, we got like six guys that want the football and he fits right in. So to me, a team like the Rams seems like the perfect fit. Big market city. Super Bowl is being hosted in L.A. Great football team. And what a better way to get back on the national spotlight, Kevin, than catching passes from Matthew Stafford designed by Sean McVay.
I think there are situations like this is always the question of, can you find Goldilocks, right? The perfect situation. The Rams and the Bucs jump out as comparable spots where he goes to a team that is looking to compete for a Super Bowl, won't be option number one, though he might be the most talented in the room. But at the end of the day, a winning environment, as you say, Donnie, that can perfectly give him those opportunities. I think about teams that are meant to be contenders that need help at the wide receiver position. You talk about a New Orleans Saints, especially on the heels of the Michael Thomas news. You talk about a Baltimore Ravens team that he would immediately, I feel like, become the best catcher that Lamar Jackson has ever been able to throw to. Pair that, Donnie, with a chance to play the Cleveland Browns at least once or twice. How does that not appeal to Odell Beckham Jr.? But where I think he perhaps can find that perfectly temperatured piece of porridge would be the Green Bay Packers. The Green Bay Packers do also happen to have the Cleveland Browns on their schedule. The Green Bay Packers quite literally always seemingly are okay with Davante Adams having a massive gap in between him and the second most talented wide receiver on a football team. Randall Cobb, Alan Lazard, Montez Valdez-Scantling. Donnie, imagine a world where it's Davante Adams and Odell Beckham Jr. You're still offering Odell the opportunity to compete for a Super Bowl, a quarterback who he can trust to get him the football. Maybe the tensions flare up between a Rodgers and an Odell. It wouldn't shock me in the slightest, but that feels where opportunity to perform and compete and maybe play the Cleveland Browns are all perfectly married in Green Bay.
No, it does make sense. You brought up some really good football teams, and they're intriguing options. And when you're a star athlete like Odell Beckham Jr., a lot of times you don't get to choose where you go here. So this wasn't one, hey, we're just going to find any buyer for a fifth-round draft pick and ship him off to Jacksonville or Houston or something like that. It's going to be very interesting to see once he does get released, because you're also talking about money. It's not like a one-year thing, right? Well, they'll have to pay him, you know, like Von Miller. $6, $7 million will eat that, but then after this year, we don't have anything to do with him. His contract is up. There's still dead money cap hits in 22 and 23, which probably means if you claim him on waivers, you would now be eligible for 22 and 23. So if he goes there and doesn't like it and you got to cut him, then you eat that dead salary cap. So what happens when you clear waivers? That means the Browns are on the hook for the money, and you can pick them up for a, you know, let's just say the veteran minimum was $1 million prorated through the season, which you've already played through 8 or 9 weeks. You probably got to pay him a couple $100,000 for the rest of the year as a look-see. That's not a bad option. And specifically, it's intriguing that you bring up Baltimore. That would be a lot of fun to watch. But does Odell Beckham Jr. want to go to Baltimore without a pure passer overall with Lamar Jackson? Because the other two guys that we're listing here, a Matthew Stafford and an Aaron Rodgers, would be crazy. And also, don't leave this one out of the mix either. The Kansas City Chiefs are really struggling, and they need defense, and they know it. But you know what the best way to fix a bad defense is? Just go haywire on offense and try to rebuild. They tried Josh Gordon, which you see has made little to no impact as we predicted. Like, hey, I can't believe we're going to get to Josh Gordon here. Say, hold on here. Guys have played football in a while, and he's not making that impact right away. But if you line up Odell Beckham Jr. on one side and put in the slot Tyreek Hill, and then have Travis Kelce over the middle, no longer will you might be looking at, Kansas City can't get any stops. It's who's going to stop Kansas City. So I'm interested to see where he goes. It'll be fairly quick, probably, who picks him up, because waivers don't take that long to go through. Next weekend, Kevin, he's going to be playing football in another city.
KC is a good call by you. They're a team that wants to always try and keep bringing pieces in. And this is also a guy in Andy Reid you trust, probably, when it comes to a guy like Odell Beckham Jr., making sure that he can maximize the situation. The question moving forward, though, Donnie, is, well, how does this impact the Cleveland Browns? And specifically, how does this impact the Cleveland Browns as a 2.5-point road underdog going against the Cincinnati Bengals team that's coming off of as embarrassing of a loss as the NFL has offered this year, when you consider that they were the biggest favorite to lose outright on the year? You consider that it was Mike White, a backup quarterback, all things considered here. What do you now make of the Browns going into Cincy on the heels of this Odell news?
Another one of those classic games, Kevin, right? What are we going to get out of Cincinnati? The team that rolls into Baltimore and blows the doors off, you know, the Baltimore Ravens, or the team that, yeah, they lost to the Jets? You say, hey, Jets are up and coming. They look good. Did you see the Jets defense yesterday? It shouldn't have mattered what Mike White was doing last week, because Joe Burrow probably should have thrown for 500 yards against that team. So we try to equate how it plays into this. Division games are always tough. We know that. You are having a little bit of distraction here with Odell Beckham. But again, by distraction, I mean Sunday might be addition by subtraction, because he's not going to be on the football field. You don't have to worry about the press conference after, hey, Odell Beckham again, you only had 2 targets, and you know, Jarvis Landry had 11 targets. You obviously don't like the guy. That's not going to be here. So you might get a reinvigorated offense that doesn't have to worry about all the naysayers from the outside not working in Odell Beckham Jr., getting him involved early. Maybe you can get back to the ground game here. The interesting part here is you have to take it with a little bit of a grain of salt. This isn't the Cleveland Browns team that we opened the season with, Kevin, which I had so high expectations for, where I thought they could win the division and even make a deep run in the playoffs. They still might get back there, but depending on how healthy they are by the end of the football season. But right now, there's a lot of guys banged up on the offensive line. Running backs in flux here. Wide receivers like Odell Beckham Jr. in flux, who obviously aren't going to play this weekend. But there's something in me that still trusts the Cleveland Browns to get back to the basics with Kevin Stefanski and say, let's run the football, let's keep it close, and they're still the Bengals. As much as we wanted to anoint the Bengals as one of the better teams in the AFC, you come back down to reality last week when you say, wait a second, they lost to the Jets. Maybe it's the same old Bengals. I think the Browns are live in this game. Do I want to absolutely take them? Maybe not, but maybe a little bit more points here, possibly on a teaser, makes it more palatable. We'll talk about later.
I could see that being the case. I got to tell you, Donnie, I've been talking about it all week long, wanting to bet the Browns to miss the playoffs. But I keep looking at this game and how terrible of a bet that is if the Cleveland Browns win this game. And I don't mind backing the Bengals off of an ugly game against the Jets. It feels like a good spot to probably back the Cincinnati Bengals at home, right? But boy, there is something about Cleveland that has been worrisome in terms of fading that group. And honestly, the Odell news only makes them more the worrisome. Realistically, it will probably galvanize this group. I wouldn't be surprised if Baker Mayfield plays his best game of this season. One, he's just been a better quarterback when Odell has not been there. And two, now you've got a very focused Baker Mayfield. I tell you, I almost just want to maybe bet an over in this football game. Pair that with the Browns going over in 2 of their 3 road games. We've seen the Bengals last 2 games go clean over their numbers. Both games put up almost 60 points on the board. This is a spot where I'll be interested to see how some of the props check in, Donnie. But I really thought, early look, I'm comfortable fade of the Browns. No questions asked. And there has not been a single day of the week where it has not been pulling me more back towards the center. And if anything, as you're mentioning here, maybe towards this Cleveland side. And they're the story of this game. But Donnie, a Bengals team that was 5-2, atop of the AFC on tiebreakers, proceeding to then go and lose to the Jets and drop a game to the Browns, takes a lot of shine off their season.
No, it certainly does, because and that's what we were hoping for. Hey, man, sometimes you guess on a team, maybe they're a year too early, right? You say, all right, the Bengals coming into the season, they're going to be last place, but it's no fault of their own, because look at how tough the teams are with Cleveland, with Baltimore, Pittsburgh, that they have to climb over. And it looks like, wait a second, Kevin, they're really going to climb over this mountain here and get through, and then you lose to the Jets. I do think there is a pretty good bounce back effort. I like what Zach Taylor's doing. The offense is really good. 3 very good wide receivers, decent tight end, great running back, and a good quarterback. They'll move the football in this game, so maybe an overlook, as you're saying, might be the way to do it. I'm just not believing in them yet. Why? Because they lost to the Jets last week. Give me something to believe in, Bengals. Come on.
It's going to be a fun game, no doubt about it. And we look to see where Odell Beckham Jr. will find a new team. Taking a break here on the early line. College football world rolls on. We'll break down some of the big games of the weekend next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
getting you set up here for the weekend on the early line. Saturday will bring us a strong college football card, but it'll also bring us UFC 268. It's a big-time pay-per-view, which will be happening a stone's throw away from where I am right now. The three main fights on this card, headlined by Kamaru Usman against Colby Covington 2. Usman, a big-time favorite. That was a very close fight the first go-around. You've got Weili Zhang moving to the favorite here against Rose Namajunas. This another rematch. Rose, the current champion coming in, who handed Zhang her first UFC loss, and then also a big-time fight between Justin Gaethje and Michael Chandler, which is sure to deliver in an odd way, booked almost like a pro wrestling show. The third biggest fight on the card, yet is going to open the deal. Some promoter moves moving there by Dana White. But Donnie, I am sure when it comes to this UFC card, like most deals, waiting perhaps for some FanDuel Sportsbook odds boosts.
No, absolutely. And again, when we try to preface what we like with odds boost and what we don't like, you know, give us the good ones here, right? Give us, hey, Rose Namajunas to win the match, plus 125, plus 135, plus 145, something in that range, as she is on the FanDuel Sportsbook at plus 102. But there are fun ways to bet it as opposed to, because you see both myself and Kevin take a look at the NFL card. You try to find those intricacies as opposed to just betting on a money line like Gaethje minus 215, you know, maybe a submission in the third round or winner by TK or just picking up the victory at all. There are ways to get around it, but I know this card is a very good one and people will be looking forward to betting this on the FanDuel Sportsbook, no doubt about it, Kevin.
I will tell you this, folks. What do Don and I talk about every primetime game? Game specials. The FanDuel Sportsbook giving you UFC fight specials. Each fighter would have one or more takedown. And these are minus 185 specials, no doubt. Kamaru Usman, 90-plus significant strikes here. I don't recall seeing these in a UFC market before. What a fun way to get involved with some of these fights, right? And you talk, you know, either fighter to win round one or two. I mean, you talk about just really exciting stuff there. And that's part of the reason, as much as, again, I am heartbroken over how last night's game between the Colts and the Jets played out because it felt like it would be a... I mean, I would have walked in here like Ted DiBiase this morning had Mike White stay healthy. I am almost positive. But this is a fun way to get involved. There's always plus money opportunities there. UFC 268, it will be a fun, fun fight card that'll round out a Saturday after a strong day of college football. And I tell you what, Donnie, I absolutely love going into a college football Saturday after the first very important, concrete, matters as much as you could believe, college football playoff rankings. And I know you feel the same. The third best team in the country, Michigan State, on the docket. Only 3-point favorites against unranked Purdue. Oh, my goodness here. Michigan State on upset alert. Donnie, the number three team in the country.
Yeah, they should be on upset alert. By the way, if you're walking in like Ted DiBiase, does that mean I got to be Virgil? Or is it the other, like, I should be Ted DiBiase and used to be Virgil right at this point? But let's get back to this Michigan State-Purdue game here. You're right about this. Unbeaten Michigan State that just beat Michigan and everybody saw. Nobody has any. What, does Drew Brees still play for Purdue? Nobody could probably even name three players on Purdue's team. They're 5-3. They're at home. They're only catching 3 points, Kevin. The contrarian me immediately says, boiler up. Let's go, Purdue Boilermakers.
I got to tell you, first of all, right, Donnie, whatever you want to do here, Halloween just passed. We miss an opportunity for a little 1-2 punch there dressed as Virgil and Ted DiBiase. Oh. But listen, everything works according to plan. We're doing the early line next Halloween. Perhaps we've already got some ideas on the docket. The interesting thing about Sparty is, unlike an Oregon team who we'll talk about in a moment, Michigan State's been great against the number. 4-0 against the number on the road this year. 6-1-1 overall. They've really performed. Purdue, what do you make of this group? They beat Iowa. Iowa's horrible. They followed that up with getting rolled by Wisconsin. They might be good. I have absolutely no idea on Wisconsin. Purdue then as a 7.5-point road dog upset Nebraska. It's three for a reason. It absolutely is. I would say, Don, if you would have seen Purdue pop up into this game as a favorite, it, I'm sure, would have been a very, step back and take a deep breath kind of look there. I'll also add a high total for a Purdue game. 7-1 unders for this team this year. Michigan State has gone under in three of their four road games. Perhaps this game won't be as high scoring as that total above a 50 mark would suggest. Another game on the college football card where you see a big-time top 10 team here, this time catching points on the road. And Donnie, I got to imagine you find this to be one of the more disrespectful lines, maybe in college football history. The number 9, Wake Forest Demon Deacons. Donnie's group here catching points against the Tar Heels, who are coming off of a game where they got handled by a tremendous Notre Dame football team here. What do you make of Wake Forest and UNC?
Yeah, that's amazing, isn't it? And it just goes to show you every time, like, oh, but look at the record. You can't really look at the record, right? Because you're saying, like, I like Wake Forest. They're a good football team. They haven't played anybody yet. They're 8-0, but they're still 8-0. North Carolina, who particularly coming in this football game, we thought had much, much more to offer this year, Kevin, than 4-4 at this part. There's even thoughts like, well, hey, if Clemson slips, you know who the next team in line is going to be? The North Carolina Tar Heels. That's not the case here. But seeing a team 8-0 versus a 4-4 in the same conference, this isn't like the Sun Belt coming over to an SEC program. This is two ACC teams lining it up here with a 2.5. But I got to tell you, I am intrigued by one number here. It's not the -2.5. Mm-hmm. It's not the -144. It is the 77.5 mm-hmm. in this game. And it's one of those where you look at, if you're UNC and you're Sam Howell, you just throw caution to the wind. You say, let's just go out here and let it rip this weekend. And the one thing we knew, Wake Forest doesn't have a great defense, but if you engage their offense and say, hey, we'd like to go toe-to-toe and score with you, they can do it as well with Sam Hartman. But do you look at that 77.5, Kevin? I know we could. Well, did you watch, you know, when they played, you know, Army and what the final score was? Yes, I did. But doesn't it just seem exorbitant to say 77.5? Everything has to go your way. That's roughly 40-40 on each side to get that total. I don't know if I can buy it that high, even though there's a possibility that it might go that high.
The thing is, Donnie, when it comes to totals like that, is it sounds ridiculous. But if I told you both teams got to 40, you'd be like, yeah. It's probably the way this game is going to – someone's going to win this game 45-41, right? That's probably how the way it'll play out here. But if it does play out that way, Donnie, and Wake Forest does win again, a Heisman race that we've talked about a lot, why is Sam Hartman double the number of Kenny Pickett? What is that about? Kenny Pickett has thrown for 2,700 yards, 26 touchdowns, 3 interceptions, and lost – to Western Michigan, and I will emphasize that portion of it all year long. Hartman's thrown for about 2,500 yards, 22 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions as well. Has been good for this team on the ground. They are a team that is led by the offensive side of the football here. Is Sam Hartman going to win this award? Very unlikely. But I got to tell you, Donnie, if Wake Forest does end up unbeaten, he'll be in the conversation.
Yeah, no, he'll be in New York City, the Downtown Athletic Club. You know who's going to be there? Sam Hartman. If they're unbeaten and he's putting up these numbers here, it's only fair at that point. We can knock Wake Forest all you want. They haven't played anybody, but still, it's a Power 5 conference, and there's a really good chance that they will be unbeaten. Who would have thought that coming into season? Yeah, this guy right here thought that. I am not going to let a good thing go to waste right here and not talk about Wake Forest. Now, we could talk about Michigan State and, you know, they weren't supposed to get very many wins, but nobody cares about that. It's all about Wake Forest today. I think they can still pick up this W here, but that is alarming, the fact, once again, Kevin, they're 8-0 and they're dogs.
Donnie, every time he brings up those teams, I start thinking about it. You think Duke – roll into one? Probably not. Look, here's the other team that fits this description, Oregon. Oregon is a legendary level of fade material, kind of like the Lakers to open this NBA season. My gosh, LeBron's MVP. This team's lost to OKC twice without him. The only 2 wins for OKC. That's your NBA breakdown for the day. The Ducks, Donnie, are 0-6 against the number as a favorite this season. 0-6. How do you lay points with this team? I have no idea how you lay points with the Oregon Ducks here. Number 4 team in the country. I mean, the Huskies are not very good, like, at all. But I have no idea how you lay points with Oregon. It's been an absolute nightmare every single time.
You're right. But also, when you take a look at the Huskies here, we thought they'd be a better football team overall than they are. Now, they went to Michigan and got blasted 31-10, which Michigan's a pretty good football team. But after that, Kevin, 52-3 over Arkansas State, you should have won that game. Over Cal, 31-24, should have won that. Then they had dropped 2 games, but the scores, 27-24 loss, 24-17 loss, bounced back versus a bad Arizona team and only win by 5 points, but they won. And then at Stanford, a nice victory, 20-13. So outside of that game versus Michigan, which they didn't play very well, they hang around here. So this one to believe where you're looking at Oregon, it's not the Chip Kelly Oregon Ducks, the Marcus Mariota Oregon Ducks, or even the Justin Herbert offense. They're struggling a little bit up there. So dare I say, I like the dog in this game, and I'll take the Huskies.
Yeah, and also, I mean, you talk about some struggling offense here. Washington 7-1 under, so it could be a lower scoring game. Boy, I mean, 0-6 against the number as a favorite. That is, man. Hey, can you make us a 2-point dog here against Washington, please? Like, just like give us an opportunity. Very odd start to their season. How about Auburn and Texas A&M in the Who Can Do More for Alabama's Resume Bowl? This is a game, Donnie, where neither one of these teams have college football playoff hopes here.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know. If Auburn beats Bama and then beat Georgia in an SEC title game, two losses, I guess. I don't see either of those things actually happening here. A&M's a 4.5-point favorite. Your total, shade under 50 right now, 49.5.
Yeah, take a look. Hey, you're looking good for A&M, and it just may be as simple as me for going with the home team here with a big-time home field advantage. The last three games here, beat Alabama 41-38, Missouri 35-14, South Carolina 44-14, humming along right now. Now, do I like Auburn? Could they be able to keep it close? Sure thing here. But if I'm looking from a Texas A&M perspective here, at home, win by a touchdown to get the cover, I think they can get it done this weekend, Kevin, down at College Station.
I got to tell you, I know A&M's been an under team. Auburn kind of scoring the football. Bo Nix on the road. Maybe trustworthy enough for a team total or something of the like. Again, a 49.5 spot there in college football terms. And yes, even in SEC football, that might be a little bit of a light number. One more to bring up here. Bama back in action off of a bye. Them versus LSU, usually supposed to be really good. It's a bang 500 LSU team. I'll officially lose my team total this week when they get absolutely massacred by the Crimson Tide. It's just a matter, Donnie, do they lose by 30 or more? My goodness.
Is Nick Saban going to be nice or is Nick Saban going to be mean in this one? Is he going to give, you know, Coach O a nice little send-off here in prime time at 7 o'clock to get absolutely blasted? We don't know what's going to take place here. But the one thing I do know for sure is, am I running to the window to take Alabama at minus 29.5? Probably not. But at the same time, LSU with a coach that's leaving, and he's literally saying like, well, I don't care. You guys don't have to care either. Hey, coach, we have 80 scholarship players, 50 are showing up to practice. We don't even have enough to practice with. Coach, I'm pretty sure you have 50 live bodies out here that you can practice. Ah, don't worry about it. I'm not here next year. You guys probably will transfer out as well. Is that the mindset that we're seeing here? But 29.5 is alarming. Can't they at least stick around that number, Kevin?
No. I mean, how is this a real team, man? Like, you want to talk about a win total, right? Look, Oklahoma State's going real, real well. Ohio State, we pray for the push. I don't know what to tell you folks here. Were you bet an LSU team where all the good players are like, yep, we're done, and Ed O is going to coach 50% of the season knowing that he's fired? What do you want me to say? The team total over officially loses here at this game. That's all I care about. So, LSU, Donnie, they got him on upset alert here. Imagine they beat Bama and then still proceed to lose another game. That's exactly how it would play out. Bama's going to absolutely brutalize them. Give me Bryce Young props if they're available. Producers plays next.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Close out hour number one with some producer plays here for the weekend. Fade material, back material. Depends what you want to do. It depends perhaps whose favorite plays you like here. Personally, I like that Steve picks every single game against the number. We don't have to start there. I know Jack always presents the college football card. Fasano rotates by weeks. So give it to me. Throw up some action here. Let's see the opening of the producer's plays and what we have. Because I see Fasano starting it off here. Look at this. The Birds money line makes the cut. Raiders laying the 3. Texans plus 5.5. That's a strong card, Donnie.
That's a strong card there. I like the little look there by the – I like the Raiders in that game. I like the Eagles. A nice one on the Texans. Yesterday you saw that number go from 6.5 to 5.5. Why? Looks like Tyrod is back. It's a bad Dolphins team. Okay, I could deal with it.
I got to tell you, I actually thought that we would see Tyrod Taylor featured in some shape or form in a pick 6. Is he? We'll have to find out. Jack has two sports that he bets: college football and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Steelers laying 6.5, Ole Miss 9.5. FSU money line off of a gut-wrenching loss to Clemson. Stanford plus 8.5. How do the Bearcats end up on a card every single week, Donnie? They're going to lose outright this week. Tulsa's frisky. I like Tulsa.
You got to wait 48 hours to actually cash this one, too, or at least over 24 hours. That's tough. That's a big sweat, two-day sweat there.
That's tough there, man. There you go. Sam's back with a parlay for no reason. Look at this losing wager. Rams, Saints, Chargers, Raiders, Bills, and Cowboys. Oh, who upsets the Apple card
Philly?
There? Well, obviously the Chargers are going to lose. You have to know that. Could Dallas be vulnerable this week? I'd like to believe so. 11-1. The best is Sam is up more units than anybody in that group. And then here we go. Steve checks in. My favorite thing that happens on producers' plays is when they already have a submitted play that's either won or lost. All against the spread and money line. Now, what does that mean? All against the spread.
What's his bankroll? What is this guy's bankroll over here? Man.
Big baller Steve. He may have planned a fire. Hour number two around the corner.
Sports info is everywhere. We cut through all the clutter and bring you actionable insights and expert perspectives every single day.
Hi, Uncle Laser here. America's built on fast cars, fast food, and even faster women. Photo Casino's built in America. You know what they're fast at? Fast cash prize redemption. You see, only Moto is U.S. owned and operated. Moto. It's American made. That's who we are, and that's who we care about. Play for free at Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.